It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
I feel that we had to go in a different direction, and that's why I did that today. This change, the change that we made today, that I made, I believe will bring new energy and positivity that will lead to more wins starting now.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Let's pour up a double shot, one for a Metsy, one for a Yankee. Mark Vientos and Carlos Rodon. I mean, Mark Vientos, I am proud of the guy. I'm not even a Mets fan. I'm just looking at this guy's season. After when he came up last year, everyone was saying he can't hit. There's nowhere for him to play. He has been as important as any of these other cast of characters behind Lindor this year in the success of the Mets. And as I was talking about the scoreless inning streak ending with Lindor, I mean, for this kid's at-bat that he put together to hit that grand slam in the second inning, he put the team on his back, though. He put the Mets nation on his back. Bouncing back from the game before, which I forget, I think he had a first pitch swing in. He went 0 for 4 with 3 Ks. He did not have a good showing Sunday night. Short memory. Bounces back, hits the grand slam in the second game to blow that game open. And Carlos Rodon, talk about bouncing back from literally a week ago, last Monday night, right? Where he came out, strikes out the side, jumps off the mound, tongue out towards the bullpen or towards the dugout. And then he runs out of gas in the fourth inning after the Yankees score their first run. He gives up 4 runs. Everyone's saying, ah, come on, man. That's not good enough. And he goes 3 2/3. Well, he got a mulligan. He got another opportunity in the CS. And in a week where we hear that people are sending death threats to him and his wife and all this other nonsense from Twitter, which is not real, he channels all that. He learns from Gerrit Cole. He goes out there tonight. He has the whole stadium behind him. In reality, he has millions of the Yankees universe behind him in real life. He goes 6 innings, gives up 3 hits, 1 run, not worried about the solo shot, worried about those 9 Ks. Huge. I mean, when he retired Jose Ramirez, that place was lit up. We are riding with you, Los. You're with us. It's a 6-year deal. And that's a great way to start off the American League Championship Series, helping the Yankees take game one. 888-808-1019. I've got like 50 minutes left. Let's run through these calls on the Yankees, on the Mets, on the Jets. Nobody's really calling to talk about the Giants because now, I mean, it seems like it was 3 days ago. I was watching that game. I'm like, Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow? I didn't know he could run like that. That was just like, you almost never see that in the NFL. Just that much green grass. That's a defense that's been pretty solid, but not accounting for the quarterback running. He took off, and I don't know. We don't have to talk about Sunday Night Football. It is slightly disappointing because, you know, when I talk about it's the most wonderful time, you're kind of billing, you know, we got national baseball games. Like the whole world is watching us in the DS into the CS. We've got Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, duds. Can't get a win in either one. And, you know, it's funny because you know, everybody's talking about Daniel Jones 1 week, right? Oh, Daniel Jones, there's literal conversation on WFAN about, like, keeping Daniel Jones. And then, nope, it's week to week. And then the Jets fire their coach. Oh, here they go. Here come the Jets, right? And now you're kind of looking at the Jets like there's no solution. There's no quick fix. The team has some good players, but they're not a good team. Aaron Rodgers used to be a really good quarterback. He's taken a lot of hits. He's still got some of it there, but not enough to overcome the mistakes of the team. And it's going to be a long season. They're 2-4. Giants are 2-4. And I don't know if we're going to have postseason playoff football in East Rutherford or either one of the teams out there in East Rutherford. 888-808-1019. Get your popcorn ready. It was a movie in the Bronx. I had at least 3 bags of popcorn in the Delta Suites. Popcorn Rob from Babylon.
Get it. Hey, yo, Keith, man, first and foremost, thanks for taking my call, man. And like I said, listen, man, the disaster area has been proven. Like, FEMA has used all of their funds on the Giants and the Jets. And I don't even want to comment on them because they're a disaster. So what I am going to say is that, you know something, man, Keith, I gotta admit, that Aaron Judge is a beast. And I'm going to tell you something. I can remember watching, you know, Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez, that when they got on that plate, and even, and I'm going to say big, what's his name? Boston.
David Ortiz.
David Ortiz. When they got into that box, that batter's box, man, they crowded that plate. And so, to me, it just looks like, it's, first of all, the pitchers are intimidated by the players, you know, who these guys are, you know their status as to what they do, you know, at that plate. And then, but when he crowds that plate, it's a threat. You understand what I'm saying? And so, and I look, and I just, you know, I like to watch individual players to see exactly, you know, their moves and how, you know, how things are done. Number one, I like the fact that he does play center field now, because now what it is you involve yourself in a lot of more play than playing right field, left field, anything like that. So kudos to him on that. And the fact that that was a key catch that he caught when he went on that run, when he kind of lost that ball in that wind or whatever, and he wound up, you know, recovering and then going back and catching that ball. So that, to me, was very, very, very athletic. And now he's showing me why he deserves his salary. And so,
thanks for the call, Popcorn Rob. I don't know, like, a couple things. I mean, of course he deserves his salary. You know, the debate about regular season, postseason is what it is. You're kind of losing me with the crowd and the plate stuff. I'm like, was he crowding the plate? Because just historically from watching Judge, he's more in the back of the plate. And, like, he's not a guy. He's got, like, an open stance. He's not. Rizzo crowds the plate. And, like, he didn't do anything tonight to make me say he's a beast at the plate. I'm in there talking about how I'm not talking about Pray Holmes anymore. I'm in there praying for Judge. I'm in there, please, Judge. I got to roast Ohtani, but I can't roast Ohtani if you're not getting it done. I can't be MVP HC, Most Valuable Player, Haters Club. Come on. I'm trying to help you out. I said, let the noise around Ohtani be as loud as the noise for Judge. Ohtani showed up. After the first game of that series, he showed up again in the first game of the series Sunday night. You know what I'm saying? Like, Judge has to do more damage, but whatever. He's contributing. And Popcorn Rob, I do hear you with the defense. He's there with the glove in center field. He can play center field. I'm impressed with the fact that he played center field this entire year, coming off a foot injury. It's another reason why I low-key want the Dodgers, too. We owe them. We owe them for 2022. How sweet would it be for Yankee fans to get this East Coast-West Coast rivalry, beat the Dodgers, right, and pay them back for a Judge running into the wall last year and derailing us a year? We could have went to 3 straight ALCSs, in theory. I don't know. I'm just kind of riffing here. Josh is in Morristown. I want to take this call. I was trying to get to this one. Go for it, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Let's go Yankees. Huge Yankee fan. So super happy about that win. Couple things I want to just talk about. So, you know, I was driving home tonight trying to gather my thoughts. And honestly, I had no problem with Downing tonight. I think that there was some creativity in the offense, some misdirection, and, you know, getting Wilson in motion, getting Breece the ball with Wilson in motion, totally fine with that. But, you know, I feel like this season is 100% on life support at this point. And we're heading into, you know, a Sunday matchup with the Steelers. They're going to pound the ball. They're going to run the ball, and they're not going to get away from that. And, you know, the Jets defense, if you watch tape over the past several weeks, they're running a ton of zone, and offenses are just running directly at Sauce Gardner. And, you know, I think that the Jets have learned. They've kept Mosley off the field tonight, which was, you know, absolutely amazing. I was super thrilled to see Sherwood on the field because I do think that you need his speed. But if Sauce is not going to step up and go and try to tackle, you got to have a short leash on the guy. You got to pull him, and you got to put somebody in that's going to put their head into a pile and stop the run. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, the season's going to get away from us. So a short leash for Sauce this upcoming week is 100% needed. And honestly, I don't want to pay Sauce Gardner. I don't think that he has the you know, willingness to go and make plays in the run game. And, you know, if you can shut down a side of the field, then so be it. But that's not the case this year. If you watched him against the Vikings last week, they were attacking Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that's taking away a side of the field. So want your thoughts there. And I just want to really make it very clear, Sauce Gardner has a short leash for this upcoming week, and don't let him ruin this game for us, because the season will, you know, just fall away from us, and we're going to be in a really tough spot next week if we don't have him on a short leash.
Thanks for the call, Josh. I don't know. How do we get here? How do we go from the number 4 overall pick, people saying that this kid is the best corner in the league, people saying, oh, look at the money Patrick Surtain got, what kind of money is Sauce Gardner going to get, to now he's on the hot seat type, like, he's not going to get benched. who do you put in behind him? It's crazy, though, because, like, last week, right, got to have it, got to intercept the football, got to have it. But historically, they say corners are corners because they have hands like feet. If they had hands, they'd be receivers. Corners are the most athletic guys on the field because they have to cover the most athletic guys on the other side of the ball. With Sauce, three things have popped up now. Him in the run game, like him coming up and tackling, and like that's something with corners too. They always tried to say Deion wasn't a willing tackler. You better be out there on the edge. Him with his hands, two things with the hands, right? Getting handsy with receivers, which now I think they have alert, like, on Sauce to watch him. Like, he's gotten away with stuff in the past. And then also, like, you got to take the ball away. If you're going to be a high-paid corner, you got to take the ball away. You got to pick the ball off. You got to have interceptions. What are your thoughts? Who's the guy we were talking about that's been, not Echols?
Isaiah Oliver.
Yes, who's been, you know, making the most of his opportunity. I'll let you go on about him as well as really the Sauce Gardner stuff.
Well, with Michael Carter and ultimately DJ Reed getting hurt in the game as well, Carter hurt coming into the game, Oliver was awesome. And they talked about him before the game. He was one of the guys that Ulbrich praised before the game and his story and his resilience. But that aside, I told this caller when he was on hold, you're paying Sauce Gardner when they do pay him. You're paying him to be a lockdown corner, which he is. He's a shutdown one-on-one corner, the likes that you don't have in the league. That's hard to find in the league. There are very few guys, like you mentioned Patrick Surtain, there's very few guys that can just shut a guy down. DJ Reed on the other side also is one of those guys who shuts you down one-on-one. The problem is they're going to a zone defense that doesn't fit what Sauce Gardner does best. Sometimes you have to fit your scheme to your player's best attributes, and Sauce Gardner is not a great tackler in the run game. But think about this. You played football. If you're relying on the third level to make the tackles, then you're already beat in the run game. You need your first and second level to make the tackles. You need your linemen and your
linebackers got to make the tackles, scraping across and getting there.
If you're relying on your third level on your corners to make your tackles, you're already beat in the run game. So Sauce Gardner, when he does get paid, will be paid to be a lockdown corner like very few others in the league. That's what he's there for.
I was going to say, if y'all don't want him,
there's plenty other teams who would.
Yeah. He might be down and go back to Detroit.
He told me on hold, what he said to me was, why don't you trade him for, see what you could get for him?
Nah. It's not going to put, you're not in a position to trade Sauce Gardner. You hit on that pick. It's just, I don't know. Shout out to Sauce, man. He's not a linebacker, bro. Like, he's not supposed to be coming up, and he's not a safety either. But see, this is what happens. When you lose, you start looking at everybody differently. Even me, I'm looking now, I'm like, oh, Sauce Gardner was on the field with 50 Cent. It's always about all the glitz and glamour. That stuff does not matter, right? I remember last year they had Sexy Red on the field. Like, that stuff does not translate into winning. And then also, like, him and Aaron Rodgers got to do the handshake where, like, I don't care that it looks like they're smoking, like, an air joint, whatever. But people make stuff about it. Sauce is straight edge. If you've, anybody that's followed his career or heard anything about how he grew up, coming out of Detroit, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink. We all know Aaron Rodgers smokes his ayahuasca, whatever. It's not a big deal. But, like, when you lose, the microscope is on everybody. And he's your favorite players you even start to hate on. The guys that are not the problem, the guys that are the better players are even now under examination. Like, yo.
Exactly. What's the number of list of problems? If you created a list, what number on the list would Sauce be? All the way down.
He contributes too much good to really
exactly.
be like. And like you said, his job description is lockdown corner, cover guys, like be there where
and he's
like
one of the best there is at that.
And there, like, there's a reason why you're not losing, and down by 20. I'm like, if they had a receiver running down the field, and he wasn't covering them, 888-808-1019. But this is what happens, man. You're 2-4 in a year where you were thinking about winning the Super Bowl. James out in Long Island. James, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on? I appreciate you taking my call. I want to talk about, like, you mentioned it best. What's next? I mean, we can't do anything. I'm getting so frustrated. I just came from the ALCS game. Yankees played great. Rodon came great. I put the game on in my car, and I watched that interception. I watched it throughout the game. I'm watching the ALCS with it on my phone, and we just can't get anything done. What's the answer? What is the answer?
It's not going to get better. I don't think they can magically fix this. And with your schedule, like, you're about to face the Steelers. The Steelers are a winning organization. They find ways to win with less. Right now, they have a young quarterback that seems to be growing in confidence. I do not expect you to go on Sunday Night Football into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers.
And I'll tell you, that's my problem too, is I don't think we're going to stop their run game. We got rid of our front four. Our front four is weak right now.
Najee Harris.
He doesn't want to tackle in the run game. He doesn't want to step up. I mean, I love him to death. He's a great coverage corner, but no one throws the ball to him anymore because nobody wants to, but they want to run it to his side. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of what I'm seeing in Jet football. I hope the Jets hear this because your show is great. I appreciate everything you guys say. I hope the Jets hear it. We need a change. Something needs to go. 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers isn't there anymore. I want to see Tyrod. I've been a Jet fan. Listen, I'm not that old. I'm 20 years old, but I've had enough. I've witnessed heartbreak. This one really, really hurt me. I will say that.
I'm sorry, James. It hurts because you celebrated Rob Saleh being fired. And I like, low-key, I'm hearing the celebrations, like, ding dong, the witch is dead, and I'm like, that isn't like, okay, we knew Rob Saleh wasn't that much of a needle mover. We knew that he wasn't really like even using Dable as an example. When you see the clips of how Dable coaches on the sidelines, how he actively is talking to his players and coaching them up, you don't get those clips from Rob Saleh. But getting him out of the picture does not turn anything around or change anything. Not in a week. It's got to be frustrating for the Jets fans to say, then what do we do? Then what is the point? What's next? That was Rob Saleh's thing. Rob Saleh at least did have those, you know, commander, competitor, contender. We're the soaring eagle. And when we get to a certain altitude, Chris is in Bergen County. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Eight What's going on, buddy?
Not too much, Coach. I'm looking at who had the most tackles. We're talking about Sauce Gardner, Jamien Sherwood, Ashton Davis, Tony Adams. Like, these safeties are coming up making all the tackles. Sauce is not a safety.
You guys, having me on hold can change my complete mindset here of what I even want to talk about. Me and you talked a couple weeks ago about how this team is a collection of unbelievable talent. What did we say? It was the coaching. And, yeah, you get rid of Saleh, whatever. Like you just said, it doesn't move the needle. And to the caller who wants to get rid of Sauce, are you out of your mind? Seriously? Those kids don't come along that often. He's a generational shut-down corner. It's a scheme thing about him not being able to come up and tackle. You know what? You got to protect him in the run game. And you know what? That goes back to the coaching and the scheme. Same thing. Who wants to see Tyrod Taylor? We saw Tyrod Taylor last year. You know, it's not. Tyrod Taylor versus Aaron Rodgers, stop yourselves. I'll take Aaron Rodgers every day.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, though, it's like...
Yeah.
We're a couple weeks away from him limping off the field and Tyrod Taylor just having to go. And you made a good point about the scheme. Like, let's not forget that, like, on the edge, they are missing Jermaine Johnson and Hassan Reddick is still MIA. So, like, that would help if you had those guys on the edge and you got to worry about your corners coming up to tackle.
Well, like you just said about Pittsburgh, they do more with less. You want to know why they do more with less? Because the coaching staff can identify what they're not good at and let's scheme around it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not rocket science. I get it. You know, I'm in the middle of it. I understand scheme and you understand scheme. But come on, man. Enough is enough.
There's also execution. You know, like, scheme is scheme, but there's also execution. And they definitely had a few issues executing tonight on all three facets of the game.
Right, and you know what? You're going to see that execution, you know, in practices and in film sessions and making corrections. We all know how it goes down. I will text you about this weekend in the offline. Have a great night, man.
Thanks for the call, Chris. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break. I've only got 30 minutes left. I want to get to your Jets calls, your Yankees calls, your Mets calls. Keith McPherson on the fan call now. We'll be right back. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung out and missed strike three. Put up my books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan in New York, KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, freshly back from game one of the ALCS. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Rami tagged along. He just, you know, got the golden ticket tonight. I told him, I text Rami. I was like, I went back in my phone to see how many people asked for tickets. And I was like, you happen to just be the third person that, like, the first two were good. And I landed on you. I was like, yo, can you make the game tonight?
Top five, I'll take it.
No, I was glad to be able to put you in there because I wasn't able to do that last week. And it's postseason. I'm like, I keep record of that. I share the love. I share the blessings. I know when I used to, you know, not have any opportunity to, you know, get tickets for free or sent my way. And I know how that hustle is to try and get into Yankee Stadium for the postseason. So glad that I could, you know, bring you on tonight. And I sent you that not knowing you were even going to end up producing my show tonight. So the universe never unconnects. Let's take these calls. I've got about 22 minutes until that back music hits me. So 888-808-1019. We're obviously talking about the Yankees and the Mets and the Jets. And my guy Ross in Bergen County, he's probably trying to get on the line, but he sent a tweet to both me and Rami. He said, if you haven't brought this up already, my bad. Or he said, if you brought this up already, my bad. The Jets, we were a Jets win away from going 6-0 in New York tonight. Right, I know when I came on, I was like, Devils won, Rangers won, Islanders were up. So we sweep in hockey, all of the local hockey teams won. I mean, the Mets, they knew they weren't losing that game in the second inning. They win. The Yankees, the Guardians served that game up on a platter. They win. Of course, you leave it to the Jets to ruin a perfect night in New York sports. 888-808-1019. Jack is out in California. Jack, you're on the Fan in New York.
Yo, Keith, what's up, my man? How we doing?
I'm good. I did not to cut you off. Rami said he bet the parlay. There was people betting the New York parlay for all the teams to win money line tonight. The Jets.
Bro, I'm living in California in LA, and I'm enjoying the chaos that I'm living in right now. I got Mets, I got LA, who are my NL team, but go Yanks all the way. So my question to you is, who are you rooting for more if you're in my position? New York versus LA or Subway Series where I can just laugh at all the Dodgers fans who are sitting in the bars watching a World Series that doesn't have their team?
Are you a Yankee fan or a Met fan?
I'm born and raised Westchester, New York, man. I ain't going nowhere but the Yankees.
Yeah, you're a Yankee fan. So you should be rooting for a seven-game series, but Dodgers in seven. And then the Yankees come to town and beat the Dodgers. Then you get the last laugh.
I would agree with that. I've been saying that I want the Mets to enjoy and my friends to enjoy this run. But just understand that the Mets are going to Mets and the Dodgers are very, very good.
Yeah, and those Dodgers fans, like, they're an interesting bunch.
Dude, they're wild.
I've seen firsthand. I've been to Dodger Stadium more than I've been to Citi Field. Like, that's actually a fact.
These guys are wild, man. You get into the stadium, you are in enemy territory for the next 2 hours. Walking out of the stadium.
Let's
bro.
Go Dodgers! They're not allowed to tailgate in their parking lot for a reason. And then once you get in there, if you're wearing the opposing gear, don't go too high up in that ballpark because that's where it gets crazier.
No, don't go to the all you can eat. Don't go to the all you can eat hot dogs and nachos, man. That's not where you want to go. That's where they have the smoking chef section.
Yeah, I know it well. I know it well.
Oh yeah. And then my last question to you, my man, is I have been recently starting listening to you because you're the man, and honestly, you're the guy who's on at 9 o'clock in LA for me. How did you become a Dallas Cowboy, New York Yankee fan? Because I honestly love being the villain. And then also sentimentally, I saw your tweet a couple days ago about your brother passing. The reason I'm a Cowboys fan is because my brother, and he passed away 11 years ago, and it's one of those things where it's like, if you find that person who understands what you're talking about with fandom, you're with that guy for life. So Keith, I keep doing your thing. I'll get off the air and keep talking and let you rap. But I appreciate you. Go Cowboys. God damn them. Go Yankees. We're taking it all the way.
Rest in peace to your brother, Jack. I'm glad he made you a Cowboys fan. Thanks for the call, bro. 888-808-1019. I'm actually on the opposite with that. Like, my brother was a Giants fan. I always think back to the two Christmases that I actually put my money into buying Giants merch, and then the Giants went and won the Super Bowl right after 2011, 2007. And I'm like, I should have learned the first time. And then after, I'm like, I'm never buying you anything with that NY on it. I'm never buying you any blue stuff with that, so you can peacock around. There's a picture of me when I was three in a Giants jacket that my brother, you know, was trying to make me and groom me into be a Giants fan. But by the time I was four, I remember, you know, even knowing what the Super Bowl was, that was when the Bills put up, you know, or when the Cowboys put up 50 on the Bills. And then by the time I was five, you're in kindergarten, first grade, and, you know, kids are choosing teams, and everybody, I was a child of the 90s, everybody was a Cowboys fan or a Niners fan or a Jets or a Giants fan, and I picked the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody to tell me not to, to do it. I kind of picked it more so to be a rival of my big brother, who was a Giants fan. I'm like, you can do that. I'm going to do this. We agreed on the Yankees. We disagreed on the Knicks and the Nets. If you've listened to my show all these years, you know my brother took me to my first Knicks game because I was on the fence about potentially being a Lakers fan. Then y'all would definitely hate me if I was on here as a Yankee, Laker, Cowboys fan. I remember, you know, going to see Kobe in the Garden. But yeah, no, I became a Cowboys fan just off the TV. And those that know, know, they used to be on television where you could watch them. And then they were also in commercials. And like Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, they get Dion. They had just a bunch of stars. They were winning Super Bowls, going to Super Bowls, playing playoff football. It was like when you're a kid and no one's making you be a certain fan, you jump on the bandwagon. You roll with the winners. So I chose the team. But like when you hear me talk about them now, I have friends that are like, oh, man, the Cowboys sucked this year. Or like, you know, people were down about that game. I don't put on my Cowboys gear. The last time I put on my Cowboys gear was to go to Thursday Night Football. Sunday came, I knew they were going to get rolled because I knew that the Lions owed them one. The Lions owed them one from last year, and the Lions turned their petty on, right? They had Dan Skipper report as an eligible player on the first play of the game and last play of the half. Like, they remembered that nonsense that went on with the bogus officiating and the penalties in the NFL. And that's why I told you it's standard that the penalties are like this. And you just got to know what you're dealing with when you're watching the NFL. You're watching a bogus product. There's going to be a ton of flags and penalties. There's going to be makeup flags. There's going to be stuff that doesn't need to be called. Like, Aaron Rodgers literally went on the podium and said, roughing the passer on me tonight, that shouldn't have been called. If we're going to call that, we might as well play Sarcastaball. I've never even heard of that before. Joey's in New Brunswick on the Fan. What's up, Joey?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? How we doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing good. Yeah, I thought I needed a subscription to get on here, but let me tell you, I'm excited to talk to you, Keith.
Yeah, no, it's free here. I mean, I guess you could subscribe to the podcast, but this is free radio.
Awesome. Yeah, so I'm sitting in my Moudons. I'm almost shot right now. I couldn't believe I just saw the Jets. Where do I start? The 22 penalties, it looks rigged. The Zerline misses, or the $250 loss out of my $300 paycheck on my parlays. It's no good. I'm hopeful for a comeback, and what do we see? We see Josh Allen do a QB blast to ice the game. What is this? But 22 penalties?
Yeah, it's bad. Really? It's just like, I'm glad we didn't watch the game. We were like half watching it on Rami's phone at the Yankee game, but like, you can't sit down and enjoy a football game with flag on a play, legal procedure, coming back. You get excited for a play, and it's like, wait, there's a flag. We saw Braylon Allen score, and I'm like, yeah, and then he's like, no, it's flag. I'm like,
well. Yeah, but how do we see 22 penalties and not point to rig? Where's the consistency in these refs?
It's not even rigged. They just they don't know what they're doing, and they're flag happy. And like, that's what I said. In week six, are both teams like that unprepared and that undisciplined that there's that many penalties? Or is it the officials, man? I mean, 22 penalties. Thanks for the call, Joey. You got to check the all 22 for all 22 penalties during that game.
Total.
JD, Staten Island on the Fan in New York.
My dude, it's great being on the show. First time, long time. I was at the Jets game today. Very disappointing. I am a PSAL official and also Catholic as well. I must say, very disappointing with the officiating today. A lot of those penalties, dude, I was in the second level, first row, man. They were so phantom. Really, really bad officiating tonight. Also, the kicker, he needs to retire. I mean, 32 yards, 43 yards. You can't miss those field goals. You missed the field goal last game as well. The Jets played well. They were motion. They were the offense was different tonight.
Say something positive.
The Jets played well. It was just the between the kicker and the officiating, it was impossible to overcome.
What did they do well? Say something positive.
They were different on offense and on defense. The guy that called and said to bench Sauce, I mean, is he on drugs? Bench Sauce, one of the top two, three corners in the league. He's on the field at all times.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking for things, earlier, you know?
Bench Sauce Gardner, like, please, you don't know football. Mobley needs to play more. The middle linebacker needs to be on the field more as well. The Jets cannot stop the run, and that's been a problem 2 or 3 years now.
You know you're playing the Bills, right?
Oh, you know you're playing the Bills.
Thanks for the call, fellas.
I love that other guy.
I love his boy in the back. Like, yo, say something positive. You on the air, say awesome. Something positive. Like, it's all negative. Everybody's just talking about the Jets. It's the same way we've been talking about the Jets. And like I said, now you're looking for stuff. Now it's Sauce's fault. Now Sauce is a corner who's one of the better corners in the league. That's what I'm saying. Like, you hit on him. That's a draft pick you hit on. Now it's his fault. Now he's not coming up to stop the run. Like, I don't know, man. I'll just tell you this. Like, it doesn't change till it does. And it starts at the top. And when Quincy Williams came out in London and said, I'm tired of hearing the same old things, we need to be accountable, I think Woody Johnson took that a step too far. And I just don't think that they're ready yet to compete. I don't think, like if this has some type of effect, it's going to take a couple weeks. Maybe they upset the Steelers. Maybe they somehow find a way to upset the Steelers. Before we go to
break. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the crap.
You didn't. Joe Beningo. Yo, when does Joe B call?
He's been in the bitch for 55 freaking years.
I think he calls today. So he won't check in. Yeah. So, or now it's Tuesday, but he already called today.
No, Tuesday, 4 p.m. It's always the day after the Jet game.
Okay.
So if they play on a Monday, he'll call
so
on
yeah,
a Tuesday.
Stay tuned for Evan and Tiki later on today when Joe B calls in to talk about the Jets game. Before we go,
I guarantee you, he talks about turnovers and that last drive by the defense.
Oh, it's
guaranteed.
Well, yeah, the things that,
forcing turnovers,
that stick out.
And he's going to talk about, we crowned this defense, but they're not that good.
Oh, the pain, the way he delivers it. What a disaster. That it's going to be hilarious. All right, let's take one more call before we quickly break here. Tim is in Hicksville. Tim, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing? Just quickly, after the first game, I was very surprised about how many people were counting out the Mets.
Same.
This idea of bullpen by committee in playoff games, I kind of think that's a recipe for disaster just because of the sheer pressure in the playoffs itself.
Yep.
You're playing for a championship, and when you're throwing out five guys, you know, there's a possibility that one might falter, and you could.
Modern day baseball, Tim. It's crazy to me.
It's crazy.
You saw the Guardians do it. The Tigers do it. Like, it's like. When the Rays started doing it, everybody's like, all right, bullpen games. And it's like, no, the Dodgers spent $1 billion in the offseason. I know injuries happen, but they can't roll out all starting pitchers?
I know. It's just crazy to me. I remember the days where, you know, you were worried about, like, Mike Scott pitching two games or three games. You know, they would stack the pitchers that way. And just quite frankly, I don't know if I agree with the bullpen. And I think this series, a lot of people counting out the Mets, like I said. But watch the bullpen games. I wouldn't be surprised if those bullpen games, the Mets put up a lot of runs. But I'm not counting them out.
Today. You can't.
And like you said, you just can't count them out. I mean, like I said, I was surprised. Everyone seemed to be like, oh,
Listen, all the calls. All the calls. I mean, I really only listen to BT and Sal's show, but there were some calls. One caller said that, like, oh, you might not want to see it like this. I think it was call of the day. He's like, you might not want to see it like this, but, like, they gave up that game because, no, there is no giving up games. Thanks for the call, Tim. There is no meeting where David Stearns, Carlos Mendoza say, okay, we're going to pitch Kodai Senga and give them this game. No, you don't expect Kodai Senga to not have control and give up runs and then not hit. But yes, with this bullpen stuff, like a lineup like the Mets have and a president of baseball operations and their scouting department and their hitting coaches, like they're ready to attack a bullpen game. Their manager is ready for you to throw a bullpen game. So that was the whole reason that I think some Mets fans celebrated getting the Dodgers versus the Padres, because you weren't seeing Dylan Cease. You weren't seeing Yu Darvish. You weren't seeing Michael King. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see Knack, and you get to knock him around. All right, we got a break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. I'm going to try and take a call here, but, I mean, that's my time. Appreciate y'all. I'll be back to do the same thing after the game tomorrow. Well, later tonight. It's Tuesday now. C-Max coming up next, so let me take my calls and be on my way. Keith McPherson on the Fan, another KM to 2 a.m. So, David, out on Long Island, we're coming your way. Go for it.
Hey, Keith. Big win today. Really glad. Yeah, they won. It was a nice win. Rodon was awesome. Couldn't ask for anything more. Just a couple of things keeping in mind. I thought Boone was overmanaging when he brought in Tim Hill. He's trying to be too cute. He should have gone to Canely for Cousins over Hill. Luckily, Eber bailed him out. That was a bad managing decision.
Yeah.
Another thing, Stan, I think he needs to be betting fourth behind Judge Soto and Judge. I don't know what they're doing with Wells. I mean, Wells, he's good to catch it, but I don't think right now he belongs to Purple. And tomorrow, if we go up 2-0, we've fallen down. We're looking really good.
Thanks for the call, David. I don't even have enough time. You said you couldn't ask for more. Definitely could ask for more. Drive-in runs, right? When guys get on base, don't leave them stranded. I mean, they gave us the game, but what if they didn't? They're not going to give you every game. They're not going to hand it to you. As far as Boone getting too cute, it is what it is, man. When it's the first game of the series, one, ding, 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 and you have a lead, two, ding, ding, ding. You're going to try to save some of your guys, like a Tommy Canely, like a Cousins for later in the series where there's, you know, it's more of a higher leverage, more pressure. So, they tried to get one, pull a fast one with Tim Hill. It's Tim Hill. It is what it is, bro. But, like, you know, all in all, they were fine. And I know you guys are all dying for Wells to not be in that position, but I had said this Friday, they're not going to go away from it right away. Maybe tomorrow. I even tweeted out, I don't know how many more at bats, but I knew at least for the first game of the series, he would be in there. And then what does Stanton do again today? Hits one, and the one that he hit was ridiculous. I think it might have hit off the thing above the bullpen, and he just looked at it and chucked his bat. Dimitri and Rutherford, got you on.
Yo, Keith, what's up, man? How you doing? Thanks
good,
for having
good,
me
good.
On.
Good.
Yo, quick question before, well, a quick statement on the Jets before I go with the Stan and the Yankees. If the Jets haven't figured it out by now, they're going to figure it out forever. So the Jets are going to still be the Jets. So, you know, that's all I got to say on that. You know, what they need to do is implode the whole team in the front upstairs front office to start from scratch.
They got to sell. Like, we said the same thing about the Mets. Look at the Mets now. Steve Cohen, yeah. David Stearns. It's different than the Wilpon era, but go on.
Oh, definitely. But here we go. I got a question for you, and what I was saying is, what I wanted to ask you was, where you think Stanton, if he continues the streak of being this postseason monster of a hitter and clutch with runs and home runs and all that stuff, where do you think he's a Hall of Famer legacy? Where he's no, but I know he's going to break the 500 in his career. But I'm talking about as a Yankee. All the Yankee fans, I would always
they got to win. They got to get to the World Series this year, and they got to win it.
Where if he continues his run in the ALCS and the World Series and he wins it, where does he put himself into the Yankee legacy as the organization? Well, you think that contract is going to be talked about?
No. Well, people will forget all about how they booed him, how much they cried about his contract. They will just celebrate the good times, and he'll be up there. I don't know how beloved. I don't know if he'll be Bernie or Paul O'Neill, but he's not going to be core four. But like he'll be up there somewhere.
He'll be a fan favorite.
He'll be above Nick Swisher. He'll be a little bit above Nick Swisher.
But I also think he'll get the invite to the Old Timers Day if he gets a chip and facts. He keeps the streak on. He'll be there.
And since they don't play the game, he's good money. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but hopefully, like you said before, hopefully they do move him. Not maybe, you know, give him one more game with Wells on the five. At the four. And, you know, you've got to put him at the four.
Thanks for the call, but he's been doing damage at the five. They're probably going to run that lineup out again. Mike's in Pearl River on the Fan. Go for it, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? I got three questions for you. I went to game one ALDS. You know, Cole looked rough. But, you know, he looked good in game four. How do you think he's going to be tomorrow night? I was there rough in game one.
He's going to dominate. Then, this guy talked about how, like, the sound in Yankee Stadium fills you from the feet up. Like, you know.
I love it.
Like, Nerd Cole, he's talking about, I'm drinking IPAs with the guys. Life is great. This is great.
The boys, right?
So he cannot wait to get on that mound. Club going up on a Tuesday. He's back on his like regular rest in his routine. This guy's a baseball savant. I just know Cole knows like for the team to go up 2-0 and be that much closer to a World Series. Him getting close, like I already know he's going right at those guys. I can't wait for the game.
It's huge. And then my second question is: you think Neighbors going to Travis Scott on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever it was? Was a factor of him not playing on Sunday?
No. I mean,
concussion?
I don't think you would punish him or the team by saying, oh, you went to the concert. We're not putting you in there. Thanks for the call, Mike. He's a 21-year-old kid. All these kids love Travis Scott. I love Travis Scott. It. I don't know. It probably is not the best thing for your concussion. But, like, with concussions, you have to pass tests. You have to clear tests. Like, they have all these different things for you to do, and he wasn't cleared to play. He better be cleared for this next week. We'll get there. If you're on hold, stay on hold. C-Max coming up next. He'll open up, and he'll take your calls. I will be back after game two. I'm going to the game. I'm going to drive right back here to do the same thing later on. Appreciate y'all. Don't turn off the Odyssey app. Don't close the app. Don't change the dial. Chris McMonagall. Not McGonagall on the Fan coming up next. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN, New York.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app